Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
If you think about great NFL games, there's one playoff game that almost always jumps into the conversation, and we will have that tonight. It's the 1992 AFC wildcard game between the Buffalo Bills and the then Houston Oilers. Legendary coaches Marv Levy for Buffalo, Jack Pardee for the Houston Oilers. You might remember the lopsided score. A guy who played in this game joins us right now on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. One of the scrappiest guys to ever play in the NFL. Did a terrific job when he was working with CBS, and he now joins us. And he is Steve Tasker. Hello, Steve.
Hey, Steve.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Well, we appreciate it very much. This game was just one of the most stunning games ever. And as a guy who paid particular attention to the Houston Oilers, because I like Jack Pardee, I remember watching this game, and even though I knew Pardee just a little bit, I didn't have a real rooting interest. It was amazing. At halftime, you and the Buffalo Bills are down 28-3. Then Houston scores to go up 35-3. Steve, you guys are toast, man. You guys were done.
Yeah.
What happened?
Well, we go in at halftime, and it was 28-3, and even then it looked hopeless. And I remember Marv saying something along the lines of, hey, listen, just don't let anybody say you quit. You know, you better go out and finish this game, play hard. We'd been to two straight Super Bowls, so there was some pride in the room, you know, at halftime. And we thought, well, we're going to finish up at least, you know. The game had not sold out in time to be a sellout. So the kind of people were like, okay, two Super Bowls, that's going to kind of end it for the Bills. They get into the wild card round. They got crushed by this team, or got beat pretty soundly by the Oilers just a week ago. And just by happenstance, the first round of the playoffs, they play them again. First half is even more of the same. All right, so let's just go out and finish the second half up and you know, do it. And then sweet Frankie J comes out and throws a pick six right off the bat. And we're down 35-3. And, you know, okay. It was, you know, a nice run, right? So, you know, and then things turned around. We just – all of a sudden, and you've seen it before, you know, it takes a pretty good team to get in the playoffs in the NFL, right?
Yep.
And when one team takes it out of gear and the other team turns desperate and starts rolling the dice with the talent that it takes to get in the playoffs, all of a sudden things turn pretty fast. And that's what happened in the second half of that game.
Do you use that game? I mean, like, when you – I don't know. I'm sure that people ask you about that game, but, I mean, is it one of those things where you can just use that game as, you know, motivation to talk to anybody about anything at any time? You know, hey, remember this, and I'm telling you – like, I always say this to my kid when they start making mistakes. I'm like, remember, Jordan got cut from, you know, the eighth grade. Is that one of those reference points in your life where you can do that? You can just say, I got to tell you, listen.
Yeah. It is. I mean, you always say, listen, you're never out of it until it's out. It's not over till it's over. All the cliches pop out. You know, we were back in that game big time in a big hurry in the third quarter. And it really is a testament to what happens when you hang in there, you know. And even after that game was over in the post-game locker room, Marv Levy said, guys, let it be a lesson to you. He goes, if you keep playing hard, he shrugged his shoulders, sometimes you get lucky, you know. And that's what we did. We just kept playing hard. And then we got a couple of breaks, a handful of breaks. And the game turned our way, and we went on to finish it off. It is a real illustration. And it's, you know, as far as NFL goes, it's one of the great it's the greatest comeback story of all time in a single game. And I think, you know, it's a great game. You know, the sport is a great illustration of perseverance. You know, you got guys all the time who overcome injuries, teams all the time who overcome big challenges in the preseason or in the regular season to go on and play well or win the Super Bowl or get to a Super Bowl like we did. You know, it's just the whole sport is rife with comeback stories, and it all starts with that game, you know, January 3rd in 93.
Yeah, I don't think I'm spoiling anything because it was in 93, 27 years ago. But after you guys were down 35-3, you scored four straight touchdowns in the third quarter to get to within four, and then you scored first in the fourth quarter to go up 38-35. Oilers kicked a field goal. You guys win it in overtime with a field goal. That ended up, you know, propelling you guys into yet another Super Bowl, which brings up to me, Steve, one of the most interesting things, and Steve Tasker's our guest, former Buffalo Bill. I've always defended Buffalo on this because people have said, well, you know, they lost four straight Super Bowls. And I said, yeah, they got to four straight Super Bowls. How weird is that to have on your resume as a collective team that you got to four straight Super Bowls, which, I mean, imagine that. That's stunning. But you couldn't win one.
Yeah, it's you got to live with it. You know, you got to take your lumps. Certainly, as it gets further into history, it seems, wow, how did that happen? What was that team like? There's a lot of it raises more questions about that team. You know, the further it gets into history, it's like, how could they be that good and that bad all at the same time? And it's true. But I think for us guys now, the guys that I played with and the guys who were on that team, it's interesting, there were 22 guys that played in all four of those Super Bowls on that roster. 22 guys who were on the roster for the first one and on the roster for the fourth one. Incidentally, the way I understand it, there were also 22 guys on the Steelers of the 70s that went to and played in all four of those Super Bowls they went to over 4 years or over 6 years. I don't know what there is, if there's a magic number in that or what, but of all those guys, I mean, that's the thing I take away from it, and I don't know if it had been – I'll never know whether it had been different if we'd have won one of them or not, but the thing I look back on and think most fondly of are the guys I played with, the guys that were on those teams. We had a bunch of really good dudes, you know. We had, you know, a mammoth amount of adversity that we went through. Plus, I think we persevered after we lost that fourth Super Bowl. All of us were kind of hunkered down. We had to live with the torment of going 0-4 in four straight Super Bowls. And I think that kind of bonded us together as well. So even today, I mean, I've got a text loop with there's eight of us on a text loop of those guys that were in all four of those Super Bowls. And then we kind of laugh and we chime in about stuff that's going on in the league and about life and everything. But we're still real close friends. And I don't know that we would have been as close if we'd have won that first one or won the third one or won the fourth one or won any one of them. Or even if we even won all four of them, I don't know if we'd have been as close as we are now that we had to suffer through losing all of them.
Steve, the Tom Brady question keeps coming up left and right about being the greatest of all time. And, you know, we were throwing out quarterback names left and right. Jeff and I were playing this game. If you had one game to go out and try to win, who would you want to be your quarterback, and would it be Tom Brady? Maybe it's just a Cleveland perspective, but there's a part of me that said Jim Kelly's name deserves to be in there, and I'm just curious, who would you want? Who would you want to be your quarterback for one game?
Well, I certainly wouldn't shy away from any of those guys. You know, Jim,
right.
John Elway, Tom Brady, of course, Joe Montana, of course, Marino. And then go back to, my acid test for guys is when you talk to guys who played against them on other teams, what do they say? How do they act? And when I was a young player back in the mid 80s, and you'd hear old timers back then talk about quarterbacks of the old days, they would whisper when Johnny Unitas' name was mentioned, right?
Sure.
That to me is the ultimate compliment. When you get a bunch of really good players together and they lower their voice when they're talking, you know, guys like when they used to talk about Jim Brown, they'd whisper about, oh my gosh, you should have seen this guy, right?
Huh. Right.
You hear guys whisper about how good guys like John Elway and certainly Johnny Unitas, guys like, you know, Jim Kelly and Tom Brady and all these guys, you know, they, you know, you get guys that are – it's a tough audience. And when you get people to whisper about how good those guys were, you give me any one of those guys – and I'll take my chances with him, no question. There's a guy, I mean, Bernie Kosar was a guy. I mean, we lost one of the most phenomenal playoff games ever in Cleveland, the Buffalo Bills, in 1989 against Bernie and, Marty Schottenheimer and that crew, Webster Slaughter and all those guys, Clay Matthews. That was one of the most phenomenal playoff games ever, and it was in the wild card round. So there's a lot of quarterbacks out there. I would have no problem, saying, let's go, let's saddle up. I'll play with that guy.
Steve Tasker joining us, former Buffalo Bills wide receiver and the here on 92.3 The Fan starting at 9 o'clock. Steve, you mentioned something I want to go back to real quick. You said you had 22 guys who played in all four of those Super Bowls. And I thought that was interesting because the only 22 things that have lasted 4 years in Cleveland might be desk chairs. That's about it. How important was the continuity in building what was a fabulous team there in Buffalo?
Well, it was a different era. I mean, let's be honest. Certainly it made a difference, but everybody had continuity back then because there was no free agency. Once you were drafted by a team, you were there until you weren't good enough. So continuity was different then. Now, certainly when we got Marv Levy and they started putting together, the thing about Marv and for a long time, and I still believe this, the thing that made that team take off was obviously the talented players. When I walked in the room, I got there in midway or in November of 86, and I walked in the room and Marv Levy had just gotten the job as head coach, and Bill Polian was in the back of the room. There's two guys going to the Hall of Fame were at the top of the organization. And then you had Bruce, Jim, and Andre sitting in the chairs of the teammate, so you had five Hall of Famers in the room nobody knew about. So that's, and keeping that crew together was certainly a start. And then they drafted Thurman Thomas later on, brought James Lofton. So there's two more Hall of Famers you can add in. So, yeah, continuity made a difference, certainly. But I think more than anything, when you get the right people, continuity follows. And that's basically – I think the philosophy you have to go with, hire the right people and then support them until they figure it out.
Steve, it's funny. I just went back and looked. Realize the Browns have only had one other win in the playoffs since that game against Buffalo in 1990.
Nice.
That's scary.
Wow.
I'm just curious, what are your thoughts on the Browns going into next season and, the team that they've got with Baker Mayfield?
Well, I'll tell you this. Kevin Stefanski seems to, from where I'm at, 1,000 miles away. I liked Stefanski, what he brings to the table, and I'm looking too. And I'll say this, not for nothing. Your offensive coordinator, I've got a lot of faith in. Alex Van Pelt will bring out the best in Baker Mayfield. Alex knows how he played quarterback with. We used to call him Pill. When I was his teammate here in Buffalo, he backed up Jim Kelly and came in the game. I played and he drove down in the middle of the Pittsburgh Steelers on a road game in the playoffs and drove the Bills to a touchdown as a backup quarterback when Kelly had to go into the locker room for a minute and come back out. Alex Van Pelt came in and led us to a touchdown. Alex could play, but he was never physically gifted. He was never the tall guy but the guy got it done. He was a thinker. He was a leader. And I think Alex Van Pelt is going to do really, really wonderful things in Cleveland with that offense. I think Baker Mayfield will love him. I think the offensive linemen are going to love him. I think the skill players are going to love him. I think he communicates really well. He connects really well with his players. And I think that in and of itself is going to give Kevin Stefanski a chance to really have an offense that goes places. And I think that's where it's going to start. So I think the Browns are headed in the right direction. And I just think, Cleveland fans have a lot of good reasons to strap in and say, let's go this year. I think I'm really optimistic about the Browns this year. I really am.
Steve, let me ask you one more thing. You played wide receiver. You played with some great guys. Jim Kelly, Andre Reed, wide receiver, Hall of Famer. Browns have a guy who you think would be a Hall of Famer if he can get his career back to where it was in Odell Beckham Jr. There are things that come with Odell. And from all accounts, he's a great teammate on the field, plays hard, everything else. If you're the Browns, what do you do with Odell Beckham Jr.?
I get him the ball. I get the guy the ball. Odell and the other receivers you've got. Listen, he's going to be the focal point. The guy's got a great skills, great hands. He has the ability to get open. But here's the thing. You can have the best receivers ever, and it comes down to the guy pulling the trigger, how comfortable he is, how well he sees it, how well he can deliver it, and can he get the ball to those guys. I think Baker will do that. I think Odell Beckham's going to resurge this year. And like I said, I think this offense for Cleveland's going to carry the day this year. I think that's where it's going to happen. Stefanski is right at the cutting edge of where offenses are today. You can see it in the way the things he did. He'll take he'll have as much talent as he needs in Cleveland. And I think the atmosphere of the NFL is this. You take what you've got. You build your offense around the talent you have. You don't just come in with a philosophy and say, here's how we're going to win, and you guys run my offense. Coaches these days show up, and they say, what can you do? Okay, what can you do, and you, and you, and you, and what can our offensive line give us? All right, here's how we're going to win games. And then they're going to exploit those talents and stay away from that, which they don't do well. That's where Kevin Stefanski is. Don't expect this offense to look like it did last year for Stefanski. He's going to have different players, different pieces, and different talents to use in Cleveland than he did in Minnesota. So you can think, too, that this offense will look different and it'll be way more productive than it was a year ago.
Steve Tasker, thank you very much. Loved watching you play. Loved your work, Steve, on CBS, and we look forward to hearing the game that you were a part of, the 1992 AFC wildcard game tonight, 9 o'clock, right here on The Fan. Steve, thank you, bud.
Thanks, guys. Enjoyed it. Thanks for having me.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.